It's a pleasure to be here talking with you all today about some of the evaluation activities that have sort of started emerging from the MIRAL effort on creating our best practices documents. As with any great effort, there's a collaboration group that puts it all together. These are a few of my co-authors for this presentation: Elaine Lowry, who's also the co-chair of MIRAL, David Lyland, Nicole Lambrick, Sherry Riddick, Cindy Sutliff, and Vicky Papaduka. Many of them are in the audience, and all the tough questions will be going your way, so don't sleep. Just a little bit of background on what MIRAL is and what we've been doing with it. This is a work group that was set up through the American Immunization Registry Association in association with CDC, so it's not quite just the total CDC display here, so I guess I could clarify that a little bit. But some of the goals we've set out in here are to sort of promote operational consistency, foster communication and collaboration among IIS groups, therefore increasing hopefully the credibility of our immunization information systems. We use a variety of approaches to create these guidelines and put these documents together. We have a facilitated in collaboration of various experts in the IIS community who come together to share practice experiences so that we can come up with the ideal best practice for going forward, so that we can create a level of consistency across the board. We use a series of business analysis and modeling techniques to come up with these recommendations. This, I always like to say this, but it's important to have some operational consistency, because if it's inconsistent, it negatively affects the kind of the reputation and data quality and usefulness of registry data. So, you know, the rules that someone uses to MOGI a patient in one state should try to be consistent with those in another state as close as we can get it. Since we all use various different systems, operating platforms and technologies, these become a lot more different challenges, and we have to kind of take some unique strategies to come up with ways of aligning these systems to promote a little bit more uniform operations. How it works: first of all, we have a steering committee. Myself and Elaine are the co-chairs of it. We bring operational topics up for discussion. These are selected from surveys or feedback from NIC sessions or emails or however we can get a bunch of good topics brought forth to the community. Then we bring in a panel of experts together. We go through a series of face-to-face and offline meetings to analyze and come up with the situation. Once we develop a draft set of guidelines, we send them through an external review phase. These documents go through an external review phase where people who weren't necessarily involved in the production of the guidelines come together and give feedback on their improvement and in their documentation. We also do some assessments and surveys and gather feedback from various different implementations of them in IISs, and that's what I'm going to primarily focus on today, what some of the early results are about some of the assessments that we have uncovered from the various techniques that we're using. So we typically have a motley crew of participants who come to participate in these things. Range from very specific subject matter experts, a steering committee, facilitation team, ERA staff, state representatives, external reviewers, technical reviewers and editors at CDC. So we really try to bring in get a wide swath of experts to help put these things together. So what we have done so far is we've produced four guidelines. We produced, try to get one out a year. I guess last year, since it sort of crossed over 08, 09, we kind of spread that over 2 years there. But these guidelines are produced. They're available on the ERA website, which is listed at the bottom of the slide. Each of these guidelines can be rather thick, so they also have a compendium document. We call them a mini guide. These are smaller, kind of more polished mini references on the guide that may be useful for communicating to other stakeholders about what they are and how to use them. They're available from ERA also. So some facts about the different sessions and what we have accomplished so forth. When we bring an expert panel together, we've taken various different sizes, anywhere from about 11 to 21 people We've had various different successes with the number of people who have come together to create these guidelines. Typically, we have a 2.5-day meeting where we can spend some time face-to-face analyzing the documents, analyzing the procedures, and coming up with recommendation strategies for going forward. And then there on the right side here are some of the key aspects of what we've been able to uncover. They generally range in principles, operating principles that you should do, very specific business rules, and other general recommendations. We also have, depending on the topic, some other types of guidelines representing status changes and how you go from certain statuses to others. So these are all kind of contained in the guidelines as references that that you can use to improve operations. What do they offer? What I like to say here is they're very practical, peer-reviewed guidelines developed from experts all over the country who've come together to deal with this. They always include a set of agreed-upon terms and definitions. We're finding that this is a common problem, that some people are saying the different things but meaning the same thing, so we go through an extensive process of making sure we're all kind of speaking the same vocabulary when we're coming together on a topic like this, and we typically spend the first period of the of each topic going through this this process. We go through several principles, specific business rules, and the recommendations for how to apply them. They also have illustrative examples and strategies for how to address any issues or barriers that you may encounter from using these guidelines. So what have we done to kind of promote them and then start to get some evaluation data back? I've been talking about these at NIC conferences and workshops for a number of years now, so that's one technique that we've been doing. We also market the mini brochures and guidelines on them, and you can get those from the American Immunization Registry Association. And we also have some self-assessment tools that we've been putting out so that people can take the time to look at them and analyze how the guidelines compare to their existing IIS. And we presented some of these at various webinars. So some other techniques that we're using to gather some data on evaluating the impact and rollout of these strategies include after each workshop, we go through an interview process, get some feedback on how the sessions are going. I've got some graphs here that I'm going to go over explaining how the experts who participated in the panels viewed the processes and outcomes that we're coming up with. We've developed some annual report questions that I'm going to go over, and then some web surveys also. So the first thing I wanted to kind of go over here are the bigger picture results that we've got. So in 2007, we added some questions to the IISAR. I know Bobby and Vahe are going to be talking about this a little bit later, but in 2007, we had about 46% familiarity with the guidelines, and so maybe that's because we were asking, and then the next year we ask again, and more people are sort of more familiar with that. So I know there's some intrinsic bias in that, but it is sort of indicating that more and more people are aware of them, which is good. When we have looked at some surveys that we've spit out there, I guess I can say that, for the patient status document, we're finding some pretty positive feedback that's for the people who are familiar with the guidelines, then they're somewhat useful in changing the operations that need to be changed in their IIS system. And we have pretty good satisfaction among the contributors who are putting these things together as far as how they are viewing the sessions and the results and from the materials that we produce throughout the session. So here's a graph that illustrates some of the results from the face-to-face sessions that we get. It's always interesting to me, these things can be kind of long and arduous processes that we go through because we really try to drill down in some amount of detail and trying to kind of uncover the secrets that exist in IIS operations and systems. But everybody seems very willing, depending on the topic, to come back and do it again. So it's like, get poked in the eye with a stick, and you want to come back and get poked in the other eye with a stick. So I think that's actually a very positive sign that people are very willing to go through this process to improve their operations and kind of come together as a community to help analyze and understand and develop some best practices for going forward here. There's some pretty good evidence to suggest people are able to do it in some cases and very willing in others. There's certainly a little bit of a disconnect between willing to be able to do it and their ability to do it. And there's, you know, some barriers that I've got that have illustrated why some of these challenges exist, and they are real barriers to deal with. These are some other slides on the facilitation teams that we use and the different feedback that we're getting on these. These are some of the techniques that we use to get us to these recommendations and the feedback on how they're using. Everybody sort of very much likes the business rules that we come up with in these things. These are the very specific recommendations that you can do as far as improving an edit check or something like that to change your system. So this is some results of the web survey we did on the patient status document that we did in 2007, I believe. Is that right? 2007 was the patient status one? I think that was it. But about 68% of the respondents who were familiar with these guidelines have implemented or attempted to implement these guidelines, and then they have come up with some barriers, and these barriers are I think probably no major surprises to folks, but they may be inconsistent with other programs or business requirements that exist in the system. Maybe everybody knows these systems have evolved over the years, and so sometimes it's very difficult to change them. A lot of concerns about competing resources and priorities to get this done. That's reflected in the lack of time to reconcile the different business requirements that these guidelines have versus what may be in existence in the system already. And a lot of people are sort of kind of putting it off and considering implementation in a future application upgrade. So these are some of the barriers that I think we're uncovering, and there I don't think there are any major surprises there, but they are some examples of what we're seeing as far as the results of the uptake, so to speak, of these MARAL guidelines. I've got a couple slides here on some other activities being carried out in various sites. Some of the Sentinel site projects are looking at the various MARAL activities and guidelines and trying to improve them. These were all funded with some of the ARRA funds that came out, and these have been useful for trying to kind of figure out and taking advantage of this extra opportunity to improve their operations in these different systems. Hopefully over time we'll be able to get some more detail out of these systems and their experiences with dealing with the recommendation guidelines. Both Kansas and Washington have also taken a pretty active role in implementation of the data quality guideline. There's been several webinars that both Kansas and staff from Kansas and Washington have led, resulting in like 21 out of 32 of the data quality business rules were adopted into the system in Washington's IIS. Kansas has also done some very similar things where they've gone in and operationalized many of these guidelines and put them into practice where they didn't have some of the existing guidelines that were already there. And I think both of those folks are in the audience today, so we can hit them up for questions as needed. Also, in upcoming regional forums and other forums that have been in existence, these documents are discussed. Best practices for their implementation have been reviewed. There's going to be a half-day focus on this at the ARRA One in Colorado coming up in June. So we're looking forward to that. And these mini guides, which I mentioned earlier, are also kind of distributed and marketed at each of these regional forums. So in conclusion here, I guess I'm a little ahead of schedule, so I apologize for that, Mr. Moderator. Some of these IIS experts have resulted in some good guidelines that have been developed. Implementation barriers do exist, and we're aware of those, and we're trying to address them as time and resources permit. But I think awareness and recognition of these best practice guidelines are sort of growing. I think there's a commitment in the community to sort of come together and start tackling these projects and problems as we can. And I hope that in the future we'll be able to keep on producing more of these guidelines. Certainly, as with any study, additional research is needed to fully investigate their acceptance and broader scale utilization. And I look forward to some questions on that in a little bit. I just wanted to also update on the next topic that the group has already started to analyze and develop practice recommendations. This is a big challenge in the IS world as well as the VFC world. It's dealing with resolving and tracking the eligibility status and history in the IIS worlds. These are complicated and confusing matters. We hope to be able to put together a similar document on this to help clarify some of the business rules and statuses that it takes to go from one eligibility criteria to another. So we are targeting a face-to-face meeting in June. We have 16 experts already assembled from various state IISs, VFC programs, and CDC vendors and consultants. So we're bringing the whole mish of people in together to discuss this. So expect it maybe to be released around the end of the year, I would guess, maybe a good holiday present. So, because I know everybody would love reading that on their time off. So anyhow, I think we have time for some questions, and I'll be glad to entertain some questions now. I would also like to point out that all of the recommendations can be found on the ARA website here, and if you have any questions, my contact information is there. Any questions or comments? Is that somebody coming? Oh, somebody's coming.
Hi, sorry, you might have said this, but when you were talking about the mini brochures, are those available on the website also, or is there another mechanism for getting those?
Those are actually, the question was, how do you get the mini brochures? And so there are actually some copies floating around. There should be some at the ARA session tonight. If you haven't gotten one, and you can also send in an email, and they can mail you some if you'd like to have some that way, or see me afterwards, and I can get you some.
Great, thank you.
So, but they're in a kind of a more polished material that it's not easily reproduced off the website. But the full guides are also on the website.
It just occurs to me that with Vitrix coming down the pike here, do you think at the June meeting, which is VFC focused, right, that there could be some discussion around how the registries are going to interface with Vitrix? Or is that outside?
I think that's an interesting topic, and there's a lot of other activities going on to sort of address that. I think it might be a little difficult to integrate that on top of the other challenges that we've had with the the scope of the existing topic. So I mean, it's a great idea. It may be tough to kind of add that on top of the the existing workshop that's sort of already chugging down the path, so to speak.
Okay,
but
thanks.
It's definitely something that I think we'll be wrestling with in various different ways, but maybe not in an immediate morale form. Okay, great. Thank you for your time.